My guest at this time is Peter Sprague. He's a senior fellow in policy studies at the Family Research Council here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on a number of developments in the debate over the national definition of marriage, both the Supreme Court case that will be headed to Washington in about a month and a half, as well as the ongoing fight over the definition in the state of Alabama. And Peter, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
April 28th is the day for oral arguments at the Supreme Court. Obviously, it was just a couple of years ago we had the Windsor decision, 5-4, in favor of those advocating same-sex marriage. So a lot of folks seem to think that's likely to be how this case turns out as well. How are you looking at this case? What's it going to depend on in terms of what verdict we see in June?
I think people who believe that the Windsor case is going to dictate the outcome of this case are mostly people who haven't actually read the Windsor decision, because the Windsor decision was premised substantially which struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, defining marriage as a union of a man and a woman for all purposes under federal law. That decision was premised on the fact that DOMA, or the belief, the assertion by the court, that the Defense of Marriage Act constituted an unconstitutional federal interference with state definitions of marriage. And because the federal government was refusing to recognize marriages that were legally recognized in states, they felt that was interfering with the sovereign right of states to determine their own definition of marriage. However, if that same principle is applied in the current case, that the federal government has an obligation to respect state definitions of marriage, then this time it would mean that the federal government, in this case the Supreme Court, has to respect states that have chosen to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Peter, you mentioned there's a lot of people you think haven't carefully read Windsor. Does that include a lot of federal judges who seem to be citing that as the reason they've overturned these state constitutional amendments and other laws in many of these states?
Well, in a sense, it does. I mean, there are two aspects to the Windsor decision, and what I just cited was the most substantive legal aspect, in my opinion. Now, Justice Kennedy's opinion did include some rather sweeping language about the dignity and respect that should be afforded to married same-sex couples who are married according to the laws of the state, and the harm to their children of denying them that recognition and so forth. And so that's the part of that's the language of Windsor that the other side chooses to refer to instead, but that is essentially what amounts to what the lawyers call dicta. It's not a legal constitutional finding. It's more just an expression of personal opinion. And so I'm still hopeful, and perhaps it's naive for a conservative to be hopeful of this, but I'm still hopeful that the court will show respect for the text of the Constitution and for its own substantive prior precedents and uphold the state's powers to define marriage.
Is Kennedy the key to this case? He did write the lead opinion, as you mentioned, in Windsor. He also wrote it in Lawrence v. Texas back in 2003. But at the same time, part of that decision in Windsor, as you mentioned, was respecting the rights of states to set their own laws defining marriage. So is he ultimately the linchpin here?
I think that most people believe that Justice Kennedy will be the deciding vote. Some on the left are holding out hope that they might actually win the vote of Chief Justice Roberts as well. I think that's extremely doubtful. I'm not ruling out the possibility that one of those who is considered more liberal might actually exercise some judicial restraint on this and come our way. But I think most people, most of the money would be on Justice Kennedy being the deciding vote.
The state that's certainly been in the headlines lately with respect to its handling of marriage laws is Alabama. As I mentioned in the introduction, a federal court struck down its state constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. The Supreme Court refused to put a hold on that decision, essentially allowing same-sex marriage in Alabama, but the state Supreme Court has ordered probate judges throughout the state not to issue marriage licenses. Talk about that decision. There's a lot of folks, certainly, who are on the left in this case, suggesting that conservatives are always the party of the rule of law, except in this case. So explain what's going on here and why it's not a double standard.
The Alabama Supreme Court issued a detailed decision last week, which I'm still working my way through. It's 148 pages long, explaining their reasoning. But partly it has to do with the limitations upon the effect of lower federal court rulings. And what they point out, and I think I'm not a lawyer myself, I've read a lot of these cases, and this was something that was new to me, but it seems to be well supported by the citations in their decision, is that the lower federal courts and the state courts are dual sovereigns, as they say. They both have an independent authority to interpret the federal constitution. It is not as though because the federal district court is a federal court that its interpretation of the U.S. Constitution is considered inherently superior to the Alabama state courts. And so what we have now is a federal district court has said that the Alabama state marriage laws are unconstitutional, but the Alabama Supreme Court, interpreting the same federal constitution, has said the opposite. And the kind of deciding factor in what's happened so far is that, in a sense, the plaintiffs in the federal case may have sued the wrong defendant. They sued the attorney general as the defendant, but the attorney general has no responsibility for issuing marriage licenses in Alabama. In Alabama, that responsibility is delegated to the probate judges. Probate judges are not officers of the executive branch like the attorney general. They are officers of the judicial branch, and they are under the immediate supervision of the Alabama Supreme Court. So the Alabama Supreme Court, based on its own interpretation of the U.S. Constitution and based on its own authority to supervise the probate judges, has said that has ordered them not to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And all of those, other than those who were named as plaintiffs in the federal court case, are now complying with the Alabama Supreme Court, as I understand it.
Peter, there have been some who say that along the same lines as what the Alabama Supreme Court is doing here, even if the U.S. Supreme Court decides against traditional marriage in this case, that states' own fidelity to the Constitution, fidelity to their state constitutions, requires them to disobey. What's your sense on that? Obviously, we're speculating a decision going the opposite way of what you'd like to see, but what's the right response to whatever happens in June?
I don't really want to speak to that at this point, but I will say this as a generalization. I think what is happening in Alabama shows that the federal courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, should not necessarily operate on the expectation that everyone on the state level will simply roll over and play dead because the Supreme Court or because a federal court expresses its opinion on this issue. And there are these dual sovereignties, and there are limits to how much the court can impose their will simply by virtue of their prestige and so forth, when they're clearly going beyond anything found in the text of the Constitution. I would hope that that lesson will be one more thing that would chasten the Supreme Court a bit and make them reluctant to overturn the constitutions, not just the laws, but the constitutions of a majority of U.S. states on the issue of marriage.
Last question for you, Peter, before we let you go. This one less legal and more political. Of course, it was House Republicans that eventually defended the Defense of Marriage Act when the Obama Justice Department refused to. They're not doing so in this particular case. In fact, House Speaker John Boehner has said they're not even going to weigh in on it when a lot of other Democrats, of course, are weighing in favor of changing marriage laws nationwide. What do you make of the Republican strategy of essentially staying out of this one?
It is somewhat disappointing. Now, I do see the rationale that in the Windsor case, it involved a federal statute, and so they were acting to try to protect the prerogatives of Congress in legislating on the federal level. This is a challenge to state marriage laws. So in a sense, it doesn't really involve the prerogatives of Congress. However, I certainly think that Congress, again, like the states, Congress has its own independent authority to interpret the Constitution of the United States, and I would hope that Republicans in Congress would be willing to stand up for the fact that regardless of how they may feel about about same-sex marriage as a policy question, that they would stand up for the fact that states under the Constitution have the power to determine their own definition of marriage. And so it is disappointing that they're not taking a stance on that.
Peter, a lot of developments, and we'll certainly see a lot more here in the coming weeks and months. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Peter Sprigg is Senior Fellow in Policy Studies at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.